You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good morning, everyone.
I want to share something so brief. This is something that's also so rich. You know, I thought about something that would be beneficial for all of us. I think this is something that would really extol Christ this Christmas season. I want to talk about a Christmas confession. When I say confession, culturally, we understand confession, and it's actually right, theologically right for us to say that when you say confession, it talks about you confessing your sin to someone. But the other aspect of confession is, at the end of the day, I want us to understand that we are all confessional people. Ano ibig sabihin nun? Meaning to say, all of us here would always confess something. Meron tayong mga bagay na sinasabi that at the end of the day, we'll live this out. That's the power of words, amen? Do you folks realize that the power of our words holds the power of life and death? That in fact, the words that come out of our mouth, to a certain extent, would determine the route or the track of our life, or rather, the destiny of our life. What I want to share here this morning is a confession that we ought to be doing as Christians. Ibig sabihin, ito dapat yung mga sinasabi natin, lumalabas sa bibig natin, so that it forms our destiny and form our life. I want to read for a while. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says here, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Jesus was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." I want us first to zero in on the word mystery. In the Bible, when you say mystery, it's not the same mystery as how we understand it culturally. Because a lot of times when we say mystery, we think about Sherlock Holmes. When you say mystery, think about Scooby-Doo, Nancy Drew, Hardy Boys. These are mystery stuff, right? That's how we understand what mystery is. But for us to understand what the Bible says about this mystery of godliness, we have to understand first what the Bible, or how the Bible rather, defines what mystery is. In the New Testament, every time you see the word mystery, it always refers to something that is hidden and is now revealed. So every time you encounter the word mystery, it always talks about something that has been so hidden, in fact, in eternity past, and is now revealed to every single one of us. That is what mystery is. Think of it as something which was hidden, made visible, and manifested. The verse that we've read a while ago, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Bible scholars would agree that 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 is no ordinary text in your Bible. You know why? Because scholars would say that this was actually a hymn, or a creed, or perhaps both. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 was a hymn or a creed of the early church. That is why if you would turn your Bibles with me for a while to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, you would be surprised that it's actually arranged this way. It has its arrangement in your Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Much of the scripture, the text in the Bible that you have, are just plainly written down in lines. The difference with this is it gives you a picture that this is actually a poetry. Mapapansin niyo po, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, which is actually a narrative if you look at 1 Timothy, or rather a letter rather, in 1 Timothy, you would be surprised that this verse is stuck there and it looks like your favorite Psalms. So meaning to say, this was a poetry. Or rather, this is a poetry, this is a creed, or this is a hymn. Bakit po yun? Bakit may ganun? At napasok yan sa Bible. First, I'm not here to toss around big words. I'm just talking about this because I want us to understand. And I hope and pray that as we understand this, we will understand Christmas all the more. That we will understand the essence of Christmas all the more. That we understand that Christmas is not just about baby infant that remained that way for the rest of his life. No, he did accomplish a purpose. Amen. Bible says he was vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world. That is actually a snapshot of the gospel. What is a creed? This was either a hymn or a creed. A creed basically is like a summary of the Christian doctrine. The early church, they're really good with this. We memorize. This is important. Because, like what I said, what you memorize, you confess. What you confess, you eventually live out. So, tingnan nyo to. Halimbawa, when you talk about lines on Killer Bride or lines of Kadenang Ginto, sometimes you memorize these lines by memory. But a lot of times, we are poor when it comes to God's Word. What the early church did was they did something. They formulated something because they were so persecuted, because people were really against them. You know what they did? I remember in China, their churches were persecuted. What they do was that, okay, you take the Bible with us, no worry, don't worry. We will not worry about you taking our Bibles, our physical Bibles. You know why? Because we've already memorized our Bibles. Well, I'm not here to say that you have to memorize your Bible, but in the early church, what they did was that because they were persecuted, they turned the doctrines into songs. Want me here understand that a lot of times after a given Sunday, on Wednesday, you won't remember the preaching, but you will remember the song. Come on now. Why? Because songs would resonate in our spirit. And this is what we have here. They formed a creed, they formed a song so that every single Christian will not forget who the Lord Jesus is. So that it will resonate in their spirit. So that when you're washing your dishes, when you're making poo-poo, when you're thinking about whatever it is that you're doing, when you're washing your car, because this resonates in your spirit, you start confessing it. You start confessing these things. And it says here, it is a mystery that we confess. So what they do is that they would confess these things through hymnal. The manner in which they're going to confess these doctrines, the teachings in the Bible, is through hymnal or creedal. It's either, it's like a creed. A creed is something that they recite. The famous one, the Apostles' Creed. Is it right? You folks memorize that. Do you folks realize that if you look at the Apostles' Creed, it's actually a summary of the Gospel. The summary of the New Testament. That is what we have here. And that is why 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I believe is very important. In fact, we're taking on this verse for our 20th year anniversary in 2 years from now. Because I want us to understand that this is such a powerful verse. In fact, here's what we're going to do here this morning. I have asked one of our singers to create a melody for 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Check this out. Compared to reading 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and singing 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, you'd come to understand, oh, it's easier basically to memorize it if I start singing it.
Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. In the flesh he was manifested, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory.
Let's do it. Let's sing with Eureka for a while.
Great indeed.
Come on, everyone.
We confess is the mystery of godliness. In the flesh he was manifested, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory.
Palapakan natin si Eureka. Palapakan natin si Tisa. Come on. I guarantee you're going to have LSS on this one. For a moment, you might think, what in the world are we talking about? Why are they memorizing all of these Bible verses? At the end of the day, when the going gets tough, Yan po yung kukunin ng Holy Spirit to remind you of who you are. Yan po yung kukunin ng Holy Spirit to remind you of your worth, of your identity. Pag walang word, wala kang hugutin. And I hope and pray that we would start embracing 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. If you look at this verse, allow me to just quickly explain this. This is actually organized as a creed or as a hymn, and it has two stanzas of three lines. And that's how we're going to understand it. This is interesting. While I was studying this, I realized that, wait, if you look at the first three lines right here of the first stanza, it talks about the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was manifested in the flesh, talks about the incarnation. Vindicated by the Spirit, talks about the resurrection. Seen by angels, talks about His ascension. And the second stanza with three lines talks about our response as Christians. Our response to the incarnation, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ, which is proclaimed among the nations that He's going to be preached among the nations. He's going to be preached in the nations, and not just that, it's going to be believed on in the world, our faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then of course, we give glory to Christ. All in six lines of a song. All in two stanzas that tells us what the gospel is all about. Imagine the power if these things are embedded in our spirit. That is why I'm submitting this to everyone as a confession that we could all make. What is one thing that we could learn from this song right here? We would understand that you cannot and cannot and cannot divorce the Christmas story from the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. So Christmas is not just cute. Christmas is not just solemn. Christmas is powerful. Why? Because incarnation points us to the resurrection. Incarnation points us to the crucifixion. You cannot divorce these doctrines. And I hope and pray we see Christmas that way. That we would embrace and understand that this is what Christmas is all about. You know, the first line talks about it. He was manifested in the flesh. This obviously, as you understand, is a reference to the incarnation. Christmas is Mary. Why? Because its backdrop is the incarnation of Christ. Titus chapter 2 verse 13 says, our great God and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ was doubting His deity. He was doubting who He was. Upon seeing who Jesus was, Thomas said something. He said, my Lord and my God. The doctrine of incarnation, Christ simply means Christ was God Himself manifested in the flesh. Kaya po, incarnation, carnation, carne there simply means carne, which is meat. Incarnation simply means the enfleshment of whom? The enfleshment of all people that you could think of. We're talking about God Himself. This is what makes Christianity unique. And I hope this also appeals to your mind. Why? Because unlike other monotheistic religion, like Islam or Judaism, we believe that God was manifested in the flesh as a human person. God, by the mystery of the incarnation, was able to do the most ungodlike, not ungodly, ungodlike things imaginable. Why? Because God being God, by definition, we understand that He does not sleep. He doesn't get hurt. But all of these things were experienced by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus experienced all of these things. That is why this is a mystery. Do you folks realize that we will not arrive at a point in our life wherein we're going to be able to fathom all of these things altogether? It will remain a mystery. This is the great mystery and majesty of our faith. In the incarnation, God took on human flesh. In His weakness, He shared with us in our weakness, except of course for sin. That's why the Bible says, though He was rich, yet for our sake He became poor. Have you ever been into a shady hotel? Nagbook ka ng hotel online, pero pagpasok mo, gusto mo nang lumabas agad. Because you feel like, this is not what I thought it is. Or you get invited into a home that you feel like, man, I want to bless this family. Just imagine this with me for a while. Imagine the God of the heavens in all the perfection and the glories of heaven. He became poor and was born in the manger. For what? For our sake. It's basically for every single one of us. It also says here that it was vindicated by the Spirit. It says here, great indeed we confess is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh. It says here, he was vindicated by the Spirit. You know what vindicated means, right? Vindicated simply means that he was affirmed. That at the end of the day, he was proven right. Amen. That when he started telling the people, destroy this temple and I'm gonna raise it up in 3 days. And people are like, ah, what are you talking about? It took us decades and decades to build this temple. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, when he was crucified, I want you to put yourselves in the shoes of the disciples, or rather the sandals of the disciples, and think about what they were thinking. Ah, our leader is dead. Peter, he's not breathing. So, what does it mean? The past 3 years were all lies? Every single thing that he taught us, they were all lies. But friends, at the crucifixion, it seemed like every single thing was a lie. But at the resurrection, when the tomb was empty, he was vindicated by the Spirit. When the tomb was empty, he has proven that he indeed is the Son of God and he is the one that we worship. Amen. That is the power of the resurrection. That the Spirit himself vindicated the Lord Jesus Christ. In that event by which the Spirit raised Christ from the dead, he was vindicated in all that he claimed to be. And lastly, it says here, he was seen by angels. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels. Acts chapter 1 verse 10, it says, while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. Acts chapter 1 verse 10. Some of you here at one point in your life, not too many of us, but some of you here have seen angels. And you realize how glorious these manifestations are. But the Bible says the angelic visitation or the manifestation that we're seeing here attests to the ascension of Christ. A summary of Christ's work on earth is his incarnation, his resurrection, and his ascension. What we confess, friends, is the great mystery of godliness. The first verse showed Christ's completed work, and the second part shows our response. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, and here's what happens. Friends, if you call yourself a Christian, if you truly believe in the message of Christmas, this is what we do, that his name should be proclaimed among the nations. Christmas, if rightly understood, we understand, leads to missions. It's true that every time you think about Christmas, you think about reunions. And we understand Christmas to be like that. It's a time for reunion. But we understand, if you believe the first stanza, it leads you to understand that Christmas is also about missions. When was the last time you prayed for other nations? When was the last time you took the opportunity, perhaps in the campus, you have seen an international student, or in Lee Plaza, you've seen a foreigner, and you've preached the gospel to them? I want to tell you something, and I think this warrants your attention. In every single region, there is, as we understand, a work of a spiritual demonic power. Let me just explain it this way. If you read your Bible, you understand that the devil, the evil spirits, they have ranks. So here's what they do. Some of them are assigned geographically. That's how it's done. They're assigned in Basilan. Ikaw ang assigned sa Basilan. Ikaw ang spiritual power dyan sa Dumaguete. Ikaw ang spiritual authority dyan sa Nigeria. Here's what happens. Listen, friends, I want you to catch this. In the United States, Christian churches are preaching the gospel to Muslims, are preaching the gospel to Hindu. For some strange reason, a lot of Muslims are getting saved in the United States. You know why? Because like what I said, the spiritual power that's blinding their eyes back in Afghanistan are geographical. The moment they take the plane and move to the United States, that spiritual power has no hold on them anymore. That's why they're open to the gospel. And I want you to understand and have that perspective. When people are coming to Dumaguete, preach the gospel to them. Because their eyes are now open. That which hinders them from receiving the gospel, from surrendering their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, has no hold on them anymore. That is what it means to proclaim Christ into all the world. Amen. Some of you here are called to become cross-cultural missionaries. You know what's lacking? Your obedience. That is what's lacking. Sometimes we're full of reasons. We won't run out of reasons. And you realize you're already 52, you're already 55, and you look back and you say, "Men, sayang, sana inobey ko si Lord." It says here, believed on in the world. Friends, I understand one thing. I thought when I was young, the story of Jesus was a good story. I realized it's not a good story, it's a real story. It is not a myth, it is not a legend, it was a reality that has changed my life from the inside out. That is what faith is all about. That we put our faith in His finished work on the cross, and then after that, we understand He was taken up in glory. Like what I said a while ago, we are all confessional people. At the end of the day, what do you confess? What makes you confident? What makes you anxious? Is this what makes you confident? Because of what you confess? Ah, hindi ako matatakot kasi lim ako. Or what makes you anxious? I will not amount to anything because I am just a limb. Ah, I am confident because I have lots of money in the bank. I'm not confident because I don't have money in the bank. At the end of the day, we are all confessional people. What do you confess? If you're confident with the things of this world, I want you to understand, can it sustain everything in life? It cannot, it does not, it will never sustain you for the remainder of your life. What you need to confess is who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Amen. We are confessional people. And we will confess who Christ is. Well, we appreciate the fact that God was clothed in flesh and blood for you and for me. Alam niyo po ang kalaban natin? Ang kalaban natin, familiarity. Yan po yung kalaban ng Kristiyano. Ha, narinig ko na yan. 12 years old pa lang, tinuturo na sa Sunday school yan. Because familiar, hindi tagos sa puso. Ah, ilang taon na akong Kristiyano? Wala bang bago? Wala po. Ito po yung message. This is what the gospel is. And my prayer is that this Christmas time, my prayer is that for every single one of us to reflect on 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and allow these words of God Himself to penetrate in our very own hearts here today.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.